Formula One comes into Miami, and while the cars didn't leap like dolphins, they certainly brought the heat as Charles Leclerc takes pole for the first ever Miami Grand Prix. Welcome to episode 192 of the Grid Talk podcast. My name is Louis Edwards, and today we're going to be reviewing qualifying for the 2022 Miami Grand Prix. Joining me today, we have Philip Matthew.
Hello.
We have Shanika from Get Checkered.
Hi, everyone.
And making her Grid Talk debut is Rachel Capusa from the Paddock Pulse Formula One podcast.
Hello.
So, brand new circuit, brand new venue to Formula One. First of all, now that we've seen some actual on-track action, I'm just going to go around to each of you and just ask what your sort of first in sort of impressions have been of this new track. So, Philip, we'll start with you. Yeah, it's certainly unique driving around the NFL stadium, but is it any good?
I think it's par for what Tilkydromes could be relative to it being around an NFL stadium in a car park. So it's got feelings of Dallas. It's got feelings of Indianapolis and COTA and, you know, other circuits that have come along over here in recent years. I think the first section minus the really tight exit out of pit road there, which is a traffic problem, which has been seen earlier through the weekend, that S section there leading into the wide angle going down the long straightaway is very challenging and definitely gave some people problems here today in qualifying. That's a challenging part of the track. It's something you'd see at a lot of great circuits. The Mickey Mouse section that they put in there at the back of the circuit definitely is not ideal, but in the end, it's a byproduct of where they have it and kind of the whole landlocking of the circuit and not having the opportunity to utilize maybe some other roads. The last section of the circuit is really a long straightaway and a couple of turns that lead into the pit road. So it's nothing of great significance. It kind of reminds me of the track in Korea that they raced at for only like 2 or 3 years in that sense. Solid yet unspectacular track. I think it's more for the pomp and circumstance of it all. They raced in Miami in Tamiami Park many years ago for IndyCar and IMSA here in the United States. And then they also raced in the streets of Miami downtown with IndyCar and IMSA or ALMS or whatever it was at that point. So Miami has had racing since more or less since I've been alive. But now this circuit is a purpose-built, grade one circuit for Formula One that the vast majority of the stuff they have here within a couple of weeks will be able to be taken down and they'll be ready to go for whatever other events they'll have in the stadium here coming up. But it's not the best circuit they race on. It's not the worst circuit they race on. It's right up the middle, and figure it should be an interesting race coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been a steep learning curve for a lot of the drivers, Shanika. It's, really tested. We've seen Sainz crashing practice, Ocon crashing in practice and not being able to take part in qualifying. And even then, for the likes of Hamilton, Verstappen, it's been a real challenge and it's really kept the drivers on their toes.
Yeah, I actually found, as a spectator watching from home, it actually kind of disorienting. I went in completely blind. I've been very swamped with my job. So I didn't even realize that it was as landlocked as it was. So when we were falling behind some car, to see then that it was below an overpass and have like a delivery truck go by, I was like, I don't know what's happening here right now or what like world we've entered. But I would say similar words to Philip. Not the hardest track, not the easiest track, not the prettiest track, not the worst looking track. I think we're just somewhere in the middle with all of it. And like you said, it's just been really interesting to see the drivers have challenges to adjusting to it, but also as a spectator having challenges adjusting to like what I was seeing. And just, I can't get over the fake marina. I'm never going to get over it. I don't know. okay, they have so much money. Like, you couldn't have just done something. So I don't know. That's just where I'm at right now. I think I'm still processing the fact that this is happening. Miami's happening in the way that it's happening.
I mean, it wouldn't be a street circuit if we didn't have some sort of weird sort of road nearby. Of course, Australia has the highway that's next to the track, and then Singapore also has bridges that sort of go very close to the track. So keeping it true to the spirit of street circuits in Formula One. But Rachel, I mean, it's, as we sort of already discussed, as Philip and Shalinka have mentioned, it's an all right track. I mean, we certainly had worse street circuits in the past. And yeah, just give me your what your thoughts, Lydia.
Yeah, I definitely think it was built around the fan experience. When you see the type of things they offered for the fans at the circuit, all the different bars and restaurants, they even had like a bar crawl tour that you could take around the circuit. And it's like, you're coming there for a Formula One race, like really that focused on all the food and drinks. So, and there's two little pool areas that you can sit in where you can't even see the track. You're just sitting in a tiny little splash pool. So it's definitely for the fans. The circuit itself, you know, there's just, as everyone was saying, it's not a very forgiving circuit. If you spin, you're in the wall, as we've seen a couple people do so far in those practice sessions. So I think it's really going to come down to, on the race day, can people actually overtake? And is it good racing that we're going to see? Which is, we don't know yet. I know that there is the W Series race. I didn't get to watch any of that. And it's different, of course, with overtaking. But I'm very curious to see tomorrow during the race how the race actually is and if there's overtaking.
Yeah, that has been a concern for the drivers. It gets very dirty offline, the marble center build up, and it could definitely pose an issue if drivers do try to overtake. But Philip, I imagine the person who's probably not going to be too worried about overtaking people tomorrow is Charles Leclerc as he starts on pole. A very solid lap, probably not the cleanest lap and one he's probably most happy with in the end, but it was enough for him to take pole. And for Charles Leclerc, pole has usually gone on to his favour and he gets the win.
Every win he's had, they said it on the telecast, every win he's had in his career, all four, he's come from the pole position there, Louis. And he had a good lap. He said it wasn't his best. The fact is, Carlos Sainz, who we're going to mention here in a moment, had a better lap through the first two sectors, but he made it work in a third. And that's where a lot of the drivers have been making their time, in that short third sector, right out of the Mickey Mouse chicane going down the long back straightaway into the last couple of turns. The fact of the matter is, for Charles Leclerc, he needed this pole after kind of a haphazard, not up to snuff race at Imola, losing a lot of points to Max Verstappen and Red Bull, a bad weekend in general for Ferrari. They needed a recovery. They've been up there all weekend. I mean, yes, Carlos Sainz, we'll get into it, but still struggling a bit. But for Charles Leclerc, he's been standing up to Max Verstappen this weekend. He's got the pole. He's right in front of him. If he can get a good start and get ahead of his teammate, he will at least initially have the opportunity to dictate the pace and everything in this race and possibly regain some momentum as we get into a busy part of the calendar with Catalunya and Monaco, his home race, coming up. So good start to the weekend for him, getting that pole position and leading into, hopefully for him, another victory, a fifth victory, to regain some ground on Max Verstappen.
Yeah, he's certainly going to need it after Imola. And Shanika, he's got a helpful hand of Carlos Sainz right next to him on the front row. It's been a tricky time for Sainz recently. Second place, he'll be happy with that. And if he can make it to the end of this race, or make it to the end of the session with no hiccups or worries, he'll definitely be happy with himself.
Yeah, I think why we react the way I did is just because I feel for him. You know, it's tough to go through several tough weekends, right, and not have your confidence shaken Obviously, the P2, that final lap, he did amazing in, but I just hope he can hold it together, because I'm starting to get nervous for him. I think we just knew him as being so stable, so consistent last season, to now see a little bit of challenges, which everyone goes through. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. I know Formula One Twitter is probably like, it's over for him. No, it's fine. He'll figure it out. But it does make me nervous as a fan of his. I just want him to do well, not for like Ferrari and the team's sake, but more so for his sake and his confidence going through the rest of the season.
Yeah, especially we've never seen Sainz really in even title competing or a race winning car. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly the pressure was maybe getting to him a little bit as we saw, but he's put it in P2. Then third place, Rachel, is Max Verstappen, looking very quick throughout the entire qualifying. And then when it came to it, the last lap of his session had a bit of a kick of oversteer out of turn 6, and that was it. It relegated him to P3, a place where it's going to be very difficult for him to get past those two Ferraris tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, he did have that mistake in his last hot lap, but I think he did really well considering the during his practices, how the car, you know, he barely got any laps in. So I think he was really competitive for not having that many laps and that much experience. And he did really well when he got into the 28th. I like stood up. I was like, it's a 128. And I was super excited for that. Wasn't sure who was going to come up and beat it, but you know, he is third and he's got his teammate right behind him. So I think, yeah, he was really quick. He did great last lap, just kind of lost it a little bit and bailed out. But I think considering his lack of practice, he was really competitive and it was a really good job from him.
It was. But he's going to have a lot of work to do tomorrow. And Philip, as Rachel rightly said, he's got Sergio Perez right behind him. Both Red Bulls are going to be there. And Perez has also looked fairly competitive, even though maybe not as, you know, on key as Verstappen throughout qualifying. But during practice, he's also looked very, very good. And I think he can be one to help Red Bull in their fight against Ferrari tomorrow.
Absolutely. His tire saving prowess, I think, is going to play a big part tomorrow in the strategy, considering how hot the temperatures are going to be. And the ability for Sergio Perez to stay up there and generally keep his car on track and dictate strategy towards Ferrari. You know that they'll give Max everything he needs, but Sergio is going to be on a different strat to go and make sure they cover both ends. But he was only, 40, like just under a half a tenth, it looks like. I mean, yeah, 0.05, you know, basically 0.55 behind his own teammate, who's a world champion. And I think maybe if he could have put together a better lap in the first try, I think he might have even been ahead of Max there, which would have changed things up a little bit. But as it stands right now, his job is going to be to hold off whoever's behind and in turn also determine, kind of dictate what Ferrari has to do with whichever car it may be, more likely Carlos Sainz initially in the race, to try to get Max into second, and with all the other things that'll probably happen, safety cars and the like. But a good run by Checo, essentially one of the closest races he gets to home, started his career in the Skip Barber Racing Series, in which is like a junior formula for open wheels, just getting out of go-karts. So that's where Sergio Perez's career started at the Homestead Miami Speedway. So kind of a throwback to his initial beginnings in motorsports. So good for Checo there. And I'm sure he has plenty of fans down there wanting to see him do well.
Mm-hmm. And the tire saving, I think, will be very crucial tomorrow. But now we move on from our Red Bull and Ferrari overlords this season, and we move on to fifth place, Shanika. And all of my plaudits go to this man today, Valtteri Bottas. P5. It's just brilliant. Like, in an Alfa Romeo, which isn't really that competitive given where his teammate is. He is driving the socks off that car.
Yeah, but I think we're always acting, I mean, not we, but people act surprised, but Valtteri Bottas has always been a great driver, right? And even put him in any car, he'll figure it out. And it's just, for me, it's been exciting to see what can happen if someone is sort of the number one in leading the team, and more so to just see him happy, because I think he's showing that in his performances every single week. Like, he's doing really, really well. And for the Alfa Romeo team, I mean, to have a driver like Valtteri that's leading the charge, who can support you in building a better car and building a better team, like, overall, it's just such a great win. But I was excited, but I also, I'm going to be honest here, I was not paying attention to him when he was out on the track. I was, Lando's like basketball helmet was distracting me. The drive-by of the delivery cart, like, I was very distracted. So when I saw him hit the P5, I was just like, oh, okay, this is great. Didn't see, wasn't paying attention, but this is amazing. So I hope he can kind of hold that position and really just do well tomorrow, because I feel like he sometimes gets hit with the worst luck. Every time he goes in for a pit stop, I still have the heart attack of Monaco of like, oh God, what if they can't get, you know, like, that happens. Even if it's just a second too long, I'm like, it's going to happen again. So I'm really happy for him. Hope he can hold the position.
But he's going to have fierce competition, because behind him is his former teammate, Lewis Hamilton and Rachel. And he wasn't looking all that confident in that car in Q1. He was pretty struggling. Even a possibility he may have been eliminated, but he managed to hook it up. And then finally, we got to Q3 and he managed to hook up a good lap and, yeah, put it sixth. And you got to say it's respectable given where George Russell is and, you know, just how quick Russell's been this season. So, yeah, pretty good job from Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, no, it was an awesome job. Him and George kind of did a little flip-flop. I would have kind of expected them to be switched from where they are, but really good for Lewis. I know he has so many celebrity fans that are at this race, so I think having that kind of support is also great for him. Mercedes came with a lot of upgrades to Miami, not necessarily ones that they thought we're going to make the car faster. They just wanted to make sure they're going in the right direction. They didn't expect a big jump. So it's definitely good data for them to have. I think Lewis had a great lap. He's improved a lot from free practice one. So it was great to see. And yeah.
Okay. Also, celebrity, former First Lady Michelle Obama.
No.
That is a celebrity. That's a big one.
When I saw her, I was like, no way.
No.
Yeah, if there was a former UK Prime Minister there, I think they would have been booed to the hell if they showed up at Silverstone. So, and we don't even know who their partners are, so don't really pay attention. But it's been one hell of an event so far in Miami, with some of the people that have turned up. I even noticed George Lucas was in the back of the Mercedes garage today, so. Yeah, big people. And so, Philip, we'll move on to P7. And Pierre Gasly, you know, AlphaTauri have not been that great this year. And even so, we've not seen great performances from Pierre Gasly that we've been used to the last two seasons. So it's quite nice to see him back in P7 now. And, you know, with a car which just seems to be suiting the the track and a car that just seems to be suiting him better this weekend.
Yeah, and there was for a while there, Louis, it looked like Yuki was going to get the better of him, which doesn't happen all that often. So the notion of Pierre Gasly, you know, pulling one out and getting a good qualifying run, being the best of the rest in a sense, outside, of course, Valtteri Bottas, you know, getting that good run in there and for the AlphaTauri team to get both of their cars in, so the Red Bull powertrain being fully represented in Q3 at Miami, a big deal there. It hadn't had a great weekend up to that point, Pierre Gasly, so to go and get P7 is good relative to who he's trying to race, not only the McLarens, but you would look at the Alpines, who have had a checkered, difficult weekend, to say the least. So those are some of the teams they're looking at in that more condensed midfield. And if they're trying to go and gain some ground and bring themselves up in the constructor standings, getting a good qualifying run was key. And that's what Pierre Gasly was able to do. It isn't the same as it had been the last couple of seasons where he'd qualify top five or he'd be six and he'd get that fifth or sixth place finish. But I think these cars are, of course, a little different. And maybe he's getting his head around them at the right time, because there's a bunch of races here coming up that the AlphaTauri team are going to need him to be the lead dog as why he's there and pick up a lot of points and kind of solidify their spot in the constructor standing. So good job when it mattered. And now it's just about putting it together for 50 plus laps tomorrow in the race.
Yeah. And there's definitely opportunities for him to be able to move up, because we just really don't know what's going to happen with this race tomorrow and how many safety cars and virtual safety cars or even potential red flags that we may have tomorrow. P8, a driver you would have been paying attention to, Shanika, because of his basketball helmet, Lando Norris.
Yeah.
Very respectable position for Norris, given that this McLaren seems to be really track sensitive. It seems to be great one place, not so great another. And to be well ahead of his teammate, he'll be happy with what he's done today.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it pretty spot on, respectable. And of course, I do think he can put, like, I think there's still more in the car and more in him. Obviously, he wants to win everything. But, you know, I think he'll do fine. I'm curious to know what the strategy will look like, though, with Danny Ric being so much farther back for the McLaren team. Like, is it going to be another race where they're just trying to do what they can for Lando and then learn everything from Danny, or is he going to have the ability to move up? I don't know. So I think Lando's showing that he truly is the future of the team and is showing his best. But I'm also like, I feel like there's more there. And this is coming from a girl who has never been in a Formula One car and only commentates on it. So I feel like Lando has more to give, and I hope tomorrow that, frankly, that he does a little bit better. We know that he can race and is competitive. So we know that the car is a bit of an issue, but I think that there is more there, and hope we see it this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen from just how like quick this McLaren has progressed. Mm-hmm. There's definitely potential for them to be a lot higher than where they are, but just not maybe not showing everything at the moment. P9, Rachel, Yuki Tsunoda. Again, a driver that people are seriously questioning come the end of last season. And now with this AlphaTauri becoming a bit better, he's getting in there. And, you know, P9 is, you know, more than most people would expect from Yuki Tsunoda. Starting to really show his form now.
Yeah, he definitely needed to do this, get P9, and he needs to continue to do this. It's just a cutthroat team, and if he's not performing, then they're going to get rid of him. So he just needs to keep performing like this. Maybe beat Pierre a few times in qualification. That would be good for him. That'd be good to see. So he's got to keep it up. I think he's working out some of those mistakes that he had last year. And I hope that he just keeps getting better now that he's taking his training more seriously, which we all heard about. So he's just got to keep this up, and it was good for him.
Yeah, very solid. And yeah, rounding up the top 10 now, Lance Stroll in the Aston Martin. Seems like there is something coming from that Aston Martin now. It's something that we may not have seen from the start of this season. We thought they were maybe fighting at the back with the Williams, even, you know, just a few weeks ago. But Lance Stroll, third place win, P10, quite a way off in P10, mind. But, you know, this is more than definitely we expected from this Aston Martin, who we had expected to be right at the back.
Yeah, for Lance, you know, the a squirrel has to find a nut once in a while, and so he did today. I mean, frankly, I think Sebastian had more pace than him through the weekend, and I think his pace on his last lap might have been good enough. Sebastian got on the radio and said he messed up in the Mickey Mouse chicane, and that was where he lost what amounted to maybe a little under a tenth, and that he would have gotten into Q3. So for Lance, for them to get into Q3, yes, big deal for him, big deal for that team. They've been on the back foot all year. The porpoising issue is still a problem for them, not to the extent, of course, as Mercedes, but who knows? Maybe they can battle for a point here or a couple of points. I think there is going to be a lot of attrition, so there could be an opportunity there for Aston Martin to make something of this weekend as they get towards Catalunya, Monaco, another street course in Azerbaijan and Canada as the next four races. I mean, the aero setups that they're going to have for this race would probably be similar to the Azerbaijan and Canada rounds. So that might be a positive sign for them with some of the upgrades they brought to the table. But yeah, it's good for the team and their CEO, who I will not say his name because it'll just get me in trouble. But for where they've been at the start of the year to make a Q3 appearance, get ahead of, you know, the likes of both Alpines, both Haases and a bunch, and, you know, Williams, of course, that's a good thing for them. And Sebastian being up there, relatively speaking, they might have an opportunity here this weekend to maybe sneak a point, depending on how things work out.
I think Lance just wants to get out of timeout that Daddy Lawrence put him in. So he's trying to get these good performances to get out of timeout.
I'd like to be in the timeout that he's in, considering how much money his dad has.
Billionaire dad. Timeout on a yacht.
Yeah.
On the fake marina inside the track.
Yeah, exactly. That's a timeout for sure.
All the Canadian drivers make me embarrassed a little bit. So it's great.
You must have had a horror show when they crashed in Australia.
I was like, I was sinking in my couch. I was like, this is... No one listened to our podcast episode. Just no one look at us. But it's the Billionaire Boys Club is the two Canadian boys, and yeah, it's a time.
it's dropped off exponentially from Gilles Villeneuve and Jacques Villeneuve to what we have now, unfortunately, for Canadian representation in Formula One. But there is hope.
I'm apologizing for everyone.
Well, we'll move away from Canada and we'll move on to Spain, Shaka, and Fernando Alonso in P11. I can't stress just how close he was. I think less than half of the tenth off getting into Q3, and that is just making one corner a bit better. But he's been driving fantastic, and I think he'll maybe take this maybe as a bit of a hit, because he really, I think the pace that he's shown recently probably should have been in the top 10.
I actually agree with you. When you saw the split between, what was it, like the people that got booted, I was like, this is insane. But also it just shows how competitive the cars are, which is great. And for me, I'm just excited to see him back. I think that's something every time that he races that I feel happy about. So the fact that he's in a car that has pace on top of that is so exciting. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. I think a lot of it is just positioning. So if he doesn't get a little too hot-headed, which we know he can be sometimes, and just capitalizes on others' mistakes, maybe some safety cars, maybe a couple flags, who knows? But he always finds a way to surprise us. So I think that he's definitely one to watch tomorrow.
I will try and save my praise for Fernando, given I am such a, I've been a Fernando fanboy since day one of my Formula One, ever since I started watching Formula One. So Rachel, we'll move on to P12, which is George Russell. Now, you already spoke about Lewis Hamilton, and you said that you would have expected it to be the other way around. But honestly, I think you're right, with just how quick George Russell has been. Just one mistake in Q2 kind of just put him out of sync, and that saw him go out.
Yeah, Mr. Consistency so far this season. He's going to have a hard time keeping up that top five every race coming up from P12. But yeah, he just kind of, as you said, lost it in Q2, just lost his rhythm. And that just set him back. I know he was frustrated for sure with that. He's so hard on himself. But yeah, we'll see how far he can make it back up through the fields. I mean, he's used to battling, you know, from his Williams days. Well, if he could even get in the fight, that is, with those slow cars. But so he's used to that kind of stuff. Maybe he won't get as stuck as Lewis did last week, I think it was. So we'll see. I think he's going to have a hard time making it back up, but we'll see how he does.
Yeah, I mean, there's less porpoising in this Mercedes. It definitely looks a lot quicker than what we've seen. Their pace in practice was impressive. So I think it was down just to be how easy it is to overtake this track.
About his like neck and back issues that he's been having just from the porpoising alone. So, I mean, that's no good. I mean, no one's body is meant to do that. It's not meant to handle the G-force that they handle, but to add the bouncing to it, I mean, that's just unbelievable. I can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think about it. Just being imagined on a very, very bumpy road. And yeah, I don't know how they did it, especially like going into a corner when you're bouncing so much. How do you focus on what you meant to break? So Philip, you've got the joy of talking about the other Aston Martin now, Sebastian Vettel. And you said, right, that he made one mistake and that cost him, given how close it was, all those drivers that got knocked out in Q2. They were so close to getting into Q3. And yeah, Vettel was noticeably angry on the radio. You can't blame him because it really was just one mistake cost him top 10.
Yeah, and he would have been faster than his teammate. I mean, his pace, and that was on a new set of tires. Stroll did that in Q3. He was faster than his teammate was there in that spot. He's been, at the start of the season, Louis wasn't great, of course, you know, with getting COVID and not having time in the car. And Australia was brutal. The car is not great. They're making progress slow and steady here. We wonder if we're seeing the end for Sebastian Vettel. He's spending a lot more time, I think, being more of an activist, and I'm getting a kick out of that, and kind of speaking out to some of the injustices and other issues that seem to exist, not only with F1 circuits, with the FIA, with Formula One, but with our society as a whole. So I like that aspect of Sebastian Vettel for sure. He's a legend. He's one of the greatest ever. And he may not be in the best car now, but who knows? He's a grinder. And I think there will be some stuff that goes on in front of him early on. Ladies talked about, of course, with Fernando Alonso, with some of the other guys that are up there that might go, and El Plan may not go to plan, or some of these other people may not do what they have to do. And, you know, as I said, a point or two may be in the cards if they keep it on the track. I think that's really what it is. And the frustration and anger, I think, will drive Sebastian up further as far as he can go. Because I think he wants to make the most out of every Grand Prix, because I feel like he's going about things in a way which seems like it might be the end of the road for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in this for so long now. It's inevitable that he may be slowly looking for the door. You know, not everyone can do what Fernando Alonso does and just keep coming back every few years. But yeah, I think Vettel, he really came to Aston Martin to see what he could do with this team. And it looks like this team's not really going to be doing all that much in terms of championship wise. So yeah, I think it is going to be a matter of when and how long now until he unfortunately retires, because I think a lot of people are definitely going to miss him. Speaking of someone who could potentially be out of a drive at the end of this in a few years, Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, when McLaren have got someone like Pato O'Ward just sort of waiting to take that seat off it, like a P14 isn't isn't great for Daniel, especially when we know what that McLaren is capable of.
Oh God, it's like a nightmare that's never ending, eh? Like, it's just never ending for Daniel Ricciardo. My God. I just don't know. Like, I just don't even have any words anymore of like what I just want to like pull him aside and give him a pep talk, or like have my mom go do it. She's really good at them. Like, I don't know what needs to happen here. But he's so much fun in the sport too, right? So it's like, if we lose him, like, we're going to lose a bit of character. So I want him to stay. I want him to do well, but I just have no idea what needs to happen to make that happen. Like, I have nothing.
Yeah. His helmet was great. He looked like he fought that fish in the tank there, trying to find the diamond that was missing from his helmet. And he lost that battle along with the battle at the racetrack to fall out in Q2. So, I mean, it's hard to put into words how bad it has become for Daniel Ricciardo. And when Pato O'Ward wins last week at Barber Motorsports Park, and you have Colton Herta when he isn't screwing himself up too, in the seemingly the McLaren development pipeline too, and other drivers that they have in the junior formulas, you're staring at the end of the road too for a guy who's likely probably going to come over here and either run NASCAR or run IndyCar or something, and it'll be good for us, but it ain't going to be good for F1.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting to see what his team is doing in terms of publicity, especially here in North America. Like, the amount of interviews he's been doing and just what broadcast he's on, because I do think, actually, Philip, that you're saying what his career and future might be. They're trying to build his brand beyond where it normally has been, and I think it is because we're all seeing what's happening, and he's not dumb either, and his team isn't, so they're just prepping for what could come next.
Yeah, he already owns a house here. Yeah. Already owns a house here, is Mr. Texas, you know, like, he's already got the vibe, and he's walking the walk, talking the talk. We'll see if he can drive the drive.
Dale Earnhardt's his hero. Dale Earnhardt's his hero. So
that's true. That is true.
No, it makes
he's
sense.
He's an Aussie, but an American at heart, basically. Yeah. Right. So now we move on to 15th, which was Mick Schumacher, Rachel. And I was kind of surprised because the horses weren't looking that slow. And then suddenly they were slow. And I felt really bad because Mick was like P11 in Q1. I was like, is he going to get his top 10? Is he going to get it? And then P15?
I really don't have any answers for that. I have no idea what happened. I was really expecting it for him this time. And the only thing that he is going for him is he finished in front of his teammate, which we needed to see him start to do, you know, work out some of those rookie mistakes and get a little bit more consistent. So at least he had that going for him. But I was really looking forward to seeing the Haas doing well, you know, especially because Haas, the American team, you know, showing up. But yeah, who knows what happened between practice and qualification.
Yeah, I think we should probably now stress the now American team again after and now that the blue has gone from that car. But
No egghead anymore and no people from a certain country. We're back to Haas F1 again.
It wasn't great for Mick, and then Philip, it wasn't great for Kevin Magnussen either, P16. I think Haas in general just will be disappointed with this, given just how competitive they have been and how competitive they were, especially in earlier sessions.
Yeah, that's a big, great point you brought up there, Louis, where, I mean, Kevin Magnussen was up there through all three sessions of free practice at times. He's been very pacey most of this year. Yes, they've had a couple of off races here recently, and maybe the field is starting to come back to them relative to their initial good development. But I would compare Kevin Magnussen's situation similar to Valtteri Bottas getting that fresh start, that new lease on life with the Ferrari power unit and a team that's basically coming from the bottom. And he's outperformed Mick this whole time. Also, I think Mick has been pushing very hard, and that big crash at Jeddah really set him back. And he's still working his confidence back up from that incident, which is the second time he's had a major incident there. But to not get out of Q1 and when you already had one car out, was brutal burn for the team. Tough time, of course. Jean Haas's mom just passed away recently too. So, I mean, it's some interesting times for them. I'm curious to see what the development will be like with this team. Are they going to fall back? Are they going to be going back towards, you know, where they were with Williams? Or are they going to be able to stay up there in that midfield battle? Tomorrow's race does not look great in regards to making a lot of track position. I think it's more about trying to last. And they've been, their car has been very durable relative to some of the other cars out there. So that might play in their favor. I mean, it's going to be very hot. Kevin Magnussen is used to the heat here in the U.S. after his time racing here last year. Maybe it gives him a little leg up. He has been in an Indy car in great heat too. So it might play a role. He might be able to sneak something out of it, but I'm sure he didn't come into this weekend thinking he was going to be knocked out of Q1. Mm-hmm. It's a tough spot for the Haas team, but they're grinders, and you know Gunther Steiner will have some motivational speech and a few curse words to say while they're sitting and drinking Prosecco or whatever they're going to be drinking out on the marina or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll definitely want to be putting on a show for the home race. But if things don't go to plan, they always have Austin to go again. P17, Shanika, Guan Yu Zhou. And you got to kind of feel bad for Guan Yu Zhou because there's clearly pace in that Alfa Romeo. And he was on a fast lap before he met basically downtown by the traffic going into like the second to last corner and had to abandon his lap. And that was it. He was out. He had no opportunity to improve. And that's going to be incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, like devastating. I couldn't even imagine. You're feeling so good. You're doing so well. And then all of a sudden there's, what, 6 cars in front of you and you just have to bail. I don't know. I think for him, it's his rookie year. And I find that I'm quite lenient for anyone on their rookie year because I just think it's so difficult to adjust. But he's done so well all season. So it's just a matter of, you know, can you just keep learning, right? Every single race, just learn something and take that in the back pocket. You know, you've got a racy car. So what can you learn? What can help you be a better driver? What things can you figure out about the car? Like, I think all of those things are wins. Anytime he's on a track, it's a good thing for these junior drivers to just learn as much as they can. So sucked for him. It was devastating to watch. Then also hear him come on the radio. And I was like, ugh. It's okay. It's not your fault. but I don't know. The season I feel like for him is just learning. Just learn all the things.
Yeah. You got to learn that. Yeah. When you're in a car park, there's likely going to be parked cars. P19, Rachel, Alex Albon. There's not really much you can say about Williams. It's quite clear that they are the slowest car. Probably the two drivers there are where you'd expect them to be. But, you know, if Albon is able to look after his tyres and maybe do all but one lap on them again, it could spark some points if some drivers go off ahead of him.
Yeah, possibly. He was doing really well earlier in practice. So I was a little bit surprised to see him so low in the field. But again, it's just, we'll see how he does tomorrow. We'll see if he can make up any of those spots. And, you know, we know there's probably going to be safety cars, maybe a red flag, who knows? So there's all those opportunities to get a cheap pit stop or, you know, something that could help him move through the field. So We'll see. We'll see how he does. I'm always a big Alex Albon supporter. How can you not be? He is just a sweetest pie out there on the track. Adorable. So, you just want to give him a hug and give him a cookie and milk and be like, great job. But I'm rooting for him always.
George and Lando would love that whole entire clip. We need to cut that clip and send it to George and Lando as two BFFs and tell them about how adorable and sweet as pie Alex Albon is. We have found Alex Albon's number one fan in the United States. So
move on to his teammate now, Philip. And I've only really got one question. And what lap will he bring out the red flag?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, that's reserving it. This is the egghead question of the day by Louis. Let's see. 50, was it tomorrow's race is 58 laps, right? 57, 58, something like that. I'm going to say he's going to bring out a red flag on lap 19. I figure we get started, we get going. He gets a little too excited, and he crashes either in the spot where Alice Powell ate it earlier today in the W Series, or he'll crash in the Mickey Mouse section and block the entire track. That's likely where he would find his demise. It didn't seem like the track workers had a clue on how to take a car off the racetrack, which means this could, based on the W Series race, so there is a good possibility that red flag could come earlier. There aren't very many runoff areas for Nick to go off. I'm sure he wants to go and take a break and go to the fake marina, and they could put Logan Sargeant in the car. I'd personally sign for that. As a fan of Logan Sargeant, but they won't do that, at least at this time. I'll say lap 19. Possibly it could happen even earlier. While Rachel is a big fan of Alexander Albon, I definitely am not a fan of Nicholas Latifi. That's been made very clear on this show and other places over my time. He's a nice guy. I know Steph, who used to do the show, loves Nicholas Latifi. His dad's coffee brand is good. Lavazza's good coffee, I guess. And some of the other things that he's sponsored by are good. But he isn't. His claim to fame today is he only lost out in qualifying to Alex Albon by, I think,
what is it?
He was just under. So that's like the best qualifying he's had all year relative to his teammates. So good on him. Let him have some go and really tie one on, and they'll need a reserve driver tomorrow. That's what I'm hoping for. We could go and put Logan Sargeant make his F1 debut here tomorrow. That's what I'm hoping for.
I don't dislike Nicholas Latifi. I didn't mean anything by by the question. I just don't think he's probably
okay. All 12 of his fans are not going to come after you, Louis. It's okay. It's all right.
No.
And you got a cosign here too, so you're protected.
And you've got a Canadian on the call who's saying, "Yeah, I get secondhand embarrassment every single time." So you're fine.
maybe he'll attempt a cannonball into the fake marina, and then he'll get a little broken ankle, and we can get the reserve driver in. Maybe that'll happen.
Oh my gosh!
No, he could go to the Hard Rock thing in the middle of the track where they actually have water, and he breaks like he does like a like a wrist sprain, and it's like I can't really turn the car. Yeah, Logan. Yeah, get your uniform, get your helmet ready. Let's go. Let's go ahead and get an American in the race car to be
actually
good.
Actually, and that's better, because the thing is, if he crashes, we know how the cost cap and all that is just not going to help Williams. So it's much better that he stubs his toe, or has
gets really paper cut.
Yeah, or something, and then can't race, but still keep the car intact.
I think going on a bender might be easier for him than the is more better justification than a paper cut, but you know, we'll go with paper cut. With Nicholas Latifi, he is liable to probably cut himself on like a piece of loose leaf paper for sure.
Probably cut himself on the paint that the Williams have
Oh yeah, they keep on stripping the paint. That is true. That is true. They want a whole carbon car now, so.
Oh, Lord.
Right. So now that we've covered, obviously, we could mention Esteban Ocon, but he didn't he didn't qualify because he crashed into the very dangerous concrete wall there is on this track, which I don't think people really mentioned enough. It was a 51G impact that he had in practice today, straight into concrete. So yeah, hopefully by the time we come back round to Miami next year, they have that fitted with proper barriers. So now we'll move on to the good old podium predictions. I was on the preview show for this, and I don't actually remember what my prediction was, so it may change. So, Rachel, as it's your first show, we'll start with you. So, yeah, just run us through who do you think will be on the podium for tomorrow?
I think P1, we're going to have Charles up there. P2, I think Max is going to make his way past Carlos Sainz. And P3, I think Sergio, because Carlos, I don't know if his bad luck is completely past yet. But I mean, I don't wish that upon him for sure.
You should go knock on some wood right now.
All I can do is tap on glass right now. That's all I got in front of me. So. But that's going to be, I'm going to say Charles, Max, Sergio.
Okay. Philip?
Let's see. I'll go with Charles Leclerc to get a win tomorrow. In regards to P2, I'll go chalk as well with Rachel. I'll go with Max Verstappen for P2. And then in P3, I'll go I'll get crazy here because fact of the matter is Lewis Hamilton's streak of starting qualifying in the top five in the United States was broken today. But he's, I think, finished in the top five or six in all these U.S. rounds, and he's going to continue that. He's going to pull one out. He's going to make First Lady Obama proud. He's going to put it on the podium and tie his best result of the year, porpoising and jewelry, including questionable places that he has jewelry and all. He will get a podium at Miami and then hold the best party of anybody, even though he's only finishing third.
sounds pretty good. Angelica?
Yeah, I was also going to go with a wild card one because I think we all know what's probably going to happen. But I think Charles will take P1. You know what? I want Carlos to feel confident. He can take the P2. Fine with that. Whatever. I was going to go Lewis for P3 as like a fun thing. But since Philip already called him, I'm going to say, let's get Valtteri. Why not? P3 and the Alpha? Who knows? I don't know. Stranger things have happened.
I was going to say the bold predictions come later.
So that's the bold prediction. That would be the first podium, I think, for Sauber since Sergio Perez in 2012.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Something like that. I have to look it up now. Just give me a
second. Yeah, while you do that, while you were all talking, trying to think of what I said in the preview. And I think I'm pretty sure I went with a Red Bull 1-2. So... I may stick with that, actually. I'll go for it. I'll stick to my guns. I think I said Max P1, Sergio P2, and yeah, I think I then said Leclerc P3. Don't know how it's going to happen, but there we go. And yeah, we'll now move on to bold predictions. So, Rachel, bold prediction for this race?
I think it's going to rain. It's Miami. These clouds come out of nowhere. And it rains for about, you know, maybe a minute, and then it stops. And really, in that type of heat, the storms come out of nowhere. You really don't even see it coming. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful, fluffy cloud turns into a rain cloud. And I'm going to say it's going to get wet in Miami. The fake marina will have some water.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there was even worries today that there could be a was pretty low threat of a potential thunderstorm. And they were getting actually slightly worried about the clouds. But have a quick look on the old weather forecast. And
I probably should have checked the forecast before I made my bold prediction.
I mean, you may actually not be wrong. It's scheduled to rain in the morning and as well as 2 and 4 o'clock as well. There's a 40% chance of rain. I don't actually know what the local time of the Grand Prix is, but if that's before or after.
4 o'clock is usually at the, I think 4 o'clock is the start of the race or around there because the, yeah, I think so. It might be at the start of the race. So,
yeah, so there we go. Yeah, Philip, what's yours?
Well, I'm going to go and I think my bold prediction, I mean, it is just to confirm, I think the last time a Sauber did get on the podium was Sergio Perez at Monza in 2012, based on my quick checking of Racing Reference. So that would be pretty good. I'm going to say that Mick Schumacher gets a point tomorrow. Where that is, I don't know. He's going to get in the top 10. He has 1 out of 10. He has 10 chances. So I figure Mick Schumacher finally gets out of that duck points wise, gets himself away from Nick, Mick and Nick. He'll be away and he'll get his first points of his Formula One career tomorrow in Miami.
I'll actually just quickly check what the local time of the race is. They're 3:30. So half an hour into the race, we could actually get some rain. And Shanika, funny. I mean, you've already said Bottas on the podium, but you've got another one.
Not bold. Okay. If I could say, you know, not really related to the race, but around the race, and it's not that bold either, but I would love to see Danny Rick do something at those Hard Rock little kiddie pools that they have. I don't know what. Not like the full Red Bull dive, because I don't know how deep those things are, so you might not. But something like that, interesting. And I don't know. That's like it. I think the race will be what it always is. None of us have any clue.
For me, I could usually I usually stick to my my traditional bold prediction of Nicholas Latifi for points. But I'm gonna modify it slightly and say Nicholas Latifi to finish the race tomorrow.
That's the way to go.
I've got a feeling.
That's really bold of you.
Torrington appreciates it.
I mean, he's already crashed out in practice. You can't do it twice in the weekend.
Again, don't ask Carlos. Knock on wood. What's happening?
Knock on wood. I'm not running to my door. Anyway, so that is all from us today. If you are listening to the show on YouTube right now, you'll know that we live stream all of our shows. However, if you are not listening on YouTube, we live stream all of our shows. So make sure to subscribe and also hit the bell notifications to listen to all of our shows early. And you can also then ask us questions in the comment section below. We are also available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, as well as the F1 Chronicle website. Just search for the F1 Grid Talk podcast. And on iTunes, if you give us a 5-star review, we'll give you a shout out on our next show. So it'd be great if you could do that, but all feedback on our podcast is much appreciated. We have a huge back catalogue of shows. So if you're there's something to listen to between now and the race tomorrow, if you're in the UK, it's a late one, so you might want to get in some podcasting before the race. We have now over 190 shows for you to listen to, not just racing qualifying reviews, but also interviews with people like Mario Zola from Pirelli and more documentary style shows. We have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support the podcast and help towards better mics, lights, and recording equipment for all of our hosts, any support is greatly appreciated. And you can also get some official F1 Grid Talk merch at the f1chronicle.com/store. I would bring out my mug right now, but I don't have it on me. So now it's time to turn to our guests and see where we can find more from you, Rachel, as this is your debut. You kick it off, and where can our listeners find more of you?
Yeah, so I'm from the Paddock Pals podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, and also Anchor FM. On our podcast, we talk about Formula One stuff. We do race previews and post views, and we also do things like what the drivers did in between races, who's dating who, the zodiac signs of all the drivers, and if they are compatible or not. So we kind of do fun stuff like that. We play games. We just had George on for a game of overrated, underrated. So that was fun. So yeah, give us a listen. Thank you so much for having me on. Really loved it. It was super fun.
No worries. Philip, where can we find more from you?
You can find me on the Grip Strip podcast with my co-host Joshua Fine. We're 112 episodes in. You can find me at Philip G. Matthew on Twitter and find Josh at JP Huffine. Our Twitter handle is at Grip Strip Pod. We're on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're on Podbean. It's one of our distributing sites. And you find me at philipgmatthew.com as well, which is a blog site I have and where the shows are posted. You can also find the Gripster podcast on YouTube. So you get to look at this beautiful face along with Josh and talking about all things motorsports. We talk about Formula One. We talk about NASCAR, IndyCar. Basically, if it goes fast, we talk about it on the Gripster podcast. So thanks a lot, Louis. Great job as always hosting, and welcome to the ladies here. Great job by you both. I'm sure there will be way more positive feedback this week because you both have been on with your unique takes compared to when I talk. So thank you for that.
No worries. Phil and finally Shanika, where can we find more from you?
You can find Get Checkered wherever you listen to podcasts, or Spotify, all that kind of fun stuff. And you can also follow us at Get Checkered on every single platform. On our site, getcheckered.com, we have fun content. So blogs, reviews, things like that, that you can check out. And if I could give a look into the lens that we bring, it's just, we talk about the social issues in the sport, but it's really chaotic and a lot of fun. And so if you listen to our latest episode, you'll have 5 minutes of us almost crying, laughing so hard. So you can go check that out. But yeah, we're one of the few Canadian podcasters, so go listen to us.
Thank you. And if, God forbid, you want to find more from me, I'm either on here or you can find me on Twitter, which is at @L_G_Edwards. So yeah, if you must, you can give me a follow on Twitter. So I want to thank all my guests for joining me today. You've been fantastic. And we'll be back with a race review at 11:30 British summer time. But until then, stay safe and goodbye.